Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
The following program is presented by the HTM Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Turnbuckle Talk in partnership with TheChairShot.com, presented by the Hitting the Marks Podcast Network and in association with NDPW.com. Turnbuckle Talk is sponsored by CollarAndElbowBrand.com, where you get 10% off when using promo code JKPodcast. Turnbuckle Talk is also partnered with Phoenix at FNXFit.com, where you get 15% off all your health supplements simply by using promo code TBTalkPod. Follow the show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching at TB Talk Pod. Listen on Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and everywhere you catch your favorite programs. And now, pro wrestling fanatics, are you ready? Here are your hosts, Mighty Joe Morin and Carl Carafell.
I am Carl Carafell, alongside my broadcast colleague, Mighty Joe Morin, and this is Turnbuckle Talk, episode 201. Mighty Joe, it's amazing to be back here again, giving all of our viewers another broadcast of Turnbuckle Talk. 201 episodes, man, alive. This is crazy.
Yeah, man, it's been a really busy, since last time we sat down here to do episode 200, it's been a very busy week for myself. I can definitely say, you know, watching two full nights of Wrestle Kingdom followed by New Year's Dash after that, you know, doing Destino with Michael Jargo and A-Track Brown and A-Track Black, you know, doing the Sunday brunch, doing, then doing this again, you know, and then doing Turnbuckle Rewind on top of it. It's been a very, very busy, but I wouldn't have it any other way because I love talking about wrestling, and that's we're going to do some more of that here today. To kind of kick things off here, this one is, I don't know about you when you first heard about this, but when I saw this, it was a real head-scratcher for me. I will pull up the picture here. We were talking about the most recent hire for WWE. Her name is Christine Lebrano, and her official title with the company is Senior Vice President of Creative Writing Operations. I don't know if you've had a chance to look into her at all here, Carl, but this one has me just bamboozled, for lack of a better term.
I have not taken a look at who this person actually is, background or anything like that. Tell me, what's her background? Has she done writing before?
She is a film producer and hasn't done very much in that role. So They've decided to bring her in as head of creative writing for a wrestling promotion. I don't understand this move here, Carl. Other than it being, if something bad happens, we just got somebody else who we can throw under the bus.
Well, it's either that or what we're looking at is maybe WWE is looking at taking things into a more cinematic type of fashion. And if that's the case, who better to have than a producer?
Yeah,
and somebody who has worked in that type of an environment before. So if that's the direction that WWE is deciding to take, then this is probably a good move. if this is not the decision that the WWE or direction that they're going, then the decision is probably a little faulty.
Well, you had mentioned while you were talking a little bit here, I just did a quick Google search on her, and you'll see her title is film producer, and she has been involved in such movies as 2007's Indie Sex. Never heard of it. 2006 Darkon. In 2008, she did a movie called Goth Cruise. And also in 2008, Heavy Load. These aren't pornos. These are independent films. But I mean,
they sound like they are.
Right? And I mean, wow. It's such a, even for WWE, this is a strange move. And just what has me literally pulling my hair out. I know eventually I'm going to go bald because it's hereditary in my family, but this might cause that to happen before then. She has zero experience of professional wrestling. Dude, there are so many talented people out in just the populace that can write for professional wrestling, yet we bring in somebody with no experience whatsoever. This is, oh boy. I don't want to just kind of crap all over her, because I'm sure maybe, you know, she has some potential to do film writing and screenwriting, but professional wrestling, this is a completely different beast that we're dealing with here. And I mean, nothing against her, it looks like a stiff breeze would knock over. I mean, Vince is gonna, I mean, just have a heyday with her, because I mean, he's just gonna override everything that she's gonna put across the table.
Yeah, definitely that's going to happen, right?
Man,
like, anything that she brings, Vince is just going to kibosh it. Yeah, we can already see it happening. It's happened many, many times in the past before. So it's not as though this is something that's foreign with Vince deciding to just kind of kibosh things. But I can see it happening.
Yeah, it's just it's troublesome, especially right now, you know, given that that's one of the real weak points in their product to go in this direction. And just it's... You know, I hate to start off on a negative note. I really, really do. But I mean, just said things are going to get worse before they get better. And this is not going to help in the good direction, unfortunately. And, you know,
it's something that we're just going to have to kind of sit back, wait and see. Right. Yeah. That's about the best that we can really do is just wait and see what happens. I mean, who knows? Maybe she's been a lifelong professional wrestling fan and figures that she knows a little something and from there is able to go and write some really good stuff. Because, maybe. I mean, that's technically what we've been asking for. What we've been looking for is better writing coming from the WWE. Yeah. So maybe we'll have to just give her a shot, give it maybe 2 months, 3 months. And see what happens.
I'll be the first to give her praise if she hits it out of the park. But I mean,
now when did she get hired?
This would have been within our last recording.
Okay. Yeah. So she hasn't had any time to. So nothing from the past, let's say, month has been anything from her.
No.
Okay.
No. Okay. Not to the best of my knowledge. That's the case. So, yeah. We'll wait and see. Maybe she knocks it out of the park. But I mean. My expectations are very low, and I hope she proves me wrong. That's all I'll say.
I hope so too, to be honest. I mean, this is something that we've been looking for as professional wrestling fans, right?
Yep.
So let's make sure that we can do that. So.
Yeah, Javier asking what her name is again. We were talking. Let me bring up again. We were talking. Christine Lubrano is her name, Javier, and you can search up on Google. And like I said, her history is there's not much there, and it's a really curious hire. Like I said, I'm willing to give anybody a chance, and you know they need some new blood in that writing desk. But I mean, with Vince McMahon having the final say. It's a hard sell, and but again, we'll just have to wait and kind of see.
that's about it.
Something else also in WWE here, Carl, that has been
okay.
Very, very polarizing out there. And we were talking Roman Reigns and his opponent coming up at Royal Rumble here. This has been one of the main topics of conversation on the World Wide Webs, the interwebs, the internet wrestling community, if you will. Adam Pearce. A WWE referee getting a universal title shot against Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble. There's a couple of different ways to approach this here, Carl.
Wait, hold on a second.
Yep.
He is a WWE official. He's official. Not a referee.
Oh, yeah, an official. Sorry. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I just want that everybody's clear on that.
Good catch.
Adam Pearce is not a referee. Adam Pearce is like a backstage personality.
Yeah. Yes. Thanks for correcting me.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's a couple of different ways to approach this. You know, right now, just when it comes to, cause right now we should be really kind of attracting new people to the product, or at least making an attempt to. This is not going to help facilitate, because the average casual fan or the new fans are going to be like, who is this dude, right? Who's the suit going up against Roman Reigns? Now, for people that are in our internet wrestling bubble, you know, are more than likely, you know, at least aware of him. You know, he's in the NWA, and you know, is a talented wrestler. He's, you know, he's somebody of some notoriety. He's not a big megastar or anything like that, but most people in our bubble will know who he is. But this is still a very curious move here, Carl. And at a major show, it's odd. You know, I find it a really odd move. As somebody who is in our bubble, I mean, I know who he is, and it's cool to see somebody getting a bit of a limelight, but still strange. Still a strange move, in my personal opinion.
I don't agree.
Okay.
Why not Adam Pearce right now?
Yeah.
You talk about those that are inside of our bubble,
yep.
That the ones that watch and enjoy the independent scene and yep. and stuff that isn't WWE, right? Okay. Who are the ones that have left watching the WWE?
Well,
it's us.
Yeah.
And that's a majority of the people
mm-hmm.
that enjoy the professional wrestling. So does Goldberg really strike your fancy as a name that to draw you back in? Or does Adam Pearce draw you as a name?
Well,
right? Like, that's how I'm looking at it right now. I'm going, Adam Pearce is for me, a bigger name than Goldberg. Knowing what Adam Pearce has done, seeing the things that he's done, Adam Pearce was never hugely mainstream.
No.
But I know who he is.
Yeah.
And I would rather see Adam Pearce in a matchup than Goldberg.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be the first to, you know, to say, though, but I mean, realistically, I mean, let's not kid ourselves. Goldberg's star has shone much, much brighter than Mr. Adam Pearce. Nothing against Adam Pearce. But, I mean, you know, and like I said, you know, to put ourselves in the shoes of a casual fan or somebody looking at this for the first time, they are not going to know who this guy is. And for a big show, supposed to be one of the big show, four shows for the year, like I said, I think it's a bit of a strange move. I'm not saying that I necessarily hate the idea. I just think that it's not going to attract any new people. Let's just put it that way. It's not going to.
But right now, are they really trying to?
They should be, though, because the ratings and everything are at all-time low.
Definitely they are. You're right. But why not try to win back those people that have left that you already know are fans of professional wrestling?
Yeah. Is this going
to
do that, though?
As opposed to trying to go outside of that and try to reel in new people that might not necessarily be a fan of professional wrestling
mm-hmm.
or that casual fan, as you've put out there. I think that this is... there's nothing wrong with this. Nothing wrong with this at all. You talk about the internet wrestling community and them going bananas over all of this, okay? So what gets me, and I'm going to bring this up because I have to, what gets me is everybody lost their shit in a good way when Sting arrived at AEW. Mm-hmm. And we know that Sting will be wrestling and Sting will be working. So now Adam Pearce is announced for one matchup.
Yeah.
And everybody is gone ballistic in a bad way, saying, how can they do this? This isn't right. This is garbage. But yet, you just praised when it happened over somewhere else, and now you're crapping all over it when the WWE does it. Maybe it's you that's the problem, and you need to rethink how you're visualizing and seeing things. Are you stuck in a mentality right now of just WWE is shit, so everything they do is going to be absolute crap to me? I think a lot of people are in that mindset, and they need to change it.
To be fair, and like I said, I am not somebody who hates Adam Pearce. I mean, I appreciate the talent, but I mean, even comparing him to Sting, I mean, that's like comparing Red Lobster to Burger King.
They're two older guys that are working in the business.
Yeah.
They've both worked in the business. Yeah, one had limelight because they were on a... No, not big. If I were to put the two of them together for work that they've done, they would be equaled out to the same. The only difference is Adam Pearce didn't have a large network television deal to shine, whereas Sting did. That's the only difference.
Yep, and I agree with you on that part. And but that again, that's having that name recognition is a big deal. Everybody knows who Sting is. If I were to go to most, you know, occasional wrestling fans and see Adam Pearce, they'd be like, don't know who that is.
You're right, but I don't give a crap about these casual wrestling fans because they're not, they're the casual fans.
Yeah.
There's the ones that will possibly tune in for a pay-per-view at a bar or at a restaurant or over at a buddy's place because buddy's like, hey, I got pizza, wings, and beer. Come on over, and it's on. That's what the casual fan is.
Yeah.
Who cares about the casual fans right now? Yeah. I don't. I personally don't. Because they're not the ones that are sustaining the professional wrestling business.
Hey.
Us, we are.
Hey.
We're the ones that are sustaining it by buying the networks, getting the pay-per-views, watching them, talking about them as we're doing today, arguing about them as sometimes we do. Those are the people, the ones that have distanced themselves a little bit from the WWE and are now watching more independent and other companies because there's professional wrestling and a lot less entertainment.
Oh.
But they're the ones that you need to draw back in.
Right.
Not these casual people.
So I have a confession to make here because I didn't really reveal this right off the hop, and maybe I should have. When this kind of came up, and in full transparency here, Carl, I mean, I'm somebody who kind of prides themselves on, you know, knowing a lot of people. When I first heard about him, I'm going to be brutally honest, this is the first time I've heard of Adam Pearce.
Really?
Literally the first time.
Okay.
That is kind of influencing my opinion a little bit. And like I said, looking into him, I was kind of surprised. You know, he's done some cool stuff. But, I mean, is it going to result in, not necessarily just the casual fans, is it going to result in the ratings increasing and more buys of the network because of him? That's going to be tough. I hope he proves me wrong. But, I mean, he's not going to be the save-all, end-all.
No, right, he's not. You're right. He definitely is not. But
I'll be curious to see how it turns out. I mean, I wanted to do well. I have nothing against the guy. Just... the name just doesn't have that recognition value that I think that they need to draw in.
But it's already working. We're talking about it.
We are, yeah.
And I know of other people who have watched the WWE product that are going, just like you. I'm not sure who this guy is, but I'm tuning in because I want to see it.
Yeah.
I want to see this guy. It's working.
Yeah. Now,
or even those, and I mean, I don't want to call them casual fans because they watch like just the WWE product, right? That's all that they watch. They don't watch, you know, AEW. They don't watch New Japan, Ring of Honor. They don't see that stuff. They see just WWE. And even them are saying, well, I'm not 100% sure who Adam Pearce is, but I'm interested in this and I want to see it. So,
yeah. And now the only other catch that I could kind of think of, you know, when we talk into the actual match now, this is where it gets tricky here, Carl. Do you give this guy a chance with him? What has me concerned is if you do with this persona, you know, they've done very well in building up Roman Reigns as the bad guy, the head of the table, the big cheese, the big kahuna, whatever you want to kind of call him. Dude, if Adam Pearce gets even a little bit of offense against him, I think that compromises what they've done with Roman. I mean, this has got to be a squash match.
No, why? I don't understand why everybody will always say the top person in the company.
Yeah.
They go up against somebody who isn't maybe, you know, the one of the better in the company, that it's got to be a squash match. Screw that.
Yeah.
Screw that.
It'll be interesting.
Why not let two guys go out there and showcase the talent that they have and what they can do, as opposed to it's got to be a squash match? Well, you're asking for professional wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let them go out there and give you professional wrestling instead of it's got to be a squash match. See, that to me just irks me. Like, nothing has to be a squash match. Doesn't have to be.
We shall see. We shall see. I'll be intrigued. I will be intrigued. And we'll see how it kind of goes. All right, man. So let us move on away from some WWE stuff here, and let's talk about...
Yeah, because that's getting us heated.
It's something we've been meaning to talk a little bit about here, because, you know, going back 2 years now to 2019, this company was my favorite wrestling promotion. And unfortunately, you know, 2020 has been an extremely rough year for Ring of Honor, and they didn't do very much. Now, they are back. You know, they did do Final Battle, which was a pretty good show. And, you know, back to doing some weekly television, they did a Best of 2020, which, you know, they couldn't do a ton there. But what's really interesting with the Ring of Honor product right now, it is being done with no fans in attendance.
Yes.
And what's interesting here, Carl, is that the product is so much different now, because what they've really moved towards is that there's a lot of talking inside of that ring. A lot of talking. And this is something that they almost seem to be kind of focusing on. You know, even with guys like PCO and Mark Briscoe, these guys are very, very vocal in that ring. Jay Lethal and Gresham and those guys. It's interesting. And it seems to be working for them. You know, we've compared this, you know, even myself and Michael Jargo and Destino mentioned this, that, you know, the New Japan America deal with no fans is not working. Like, it falls completely flat. But with this, I think this is part of the reason why the Ring of Honor product is actually quite interesting right now. Is it has a very similar feel to it, but different at the same time, just due to that very vocal activity in the ring. Have you had a chance to watch any recent Ring of Honor?
Oh, yeah.
Would you agree that you've kind of picked up on that?
Definitely, I have.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because I know that there's nobody in the crowd, but when they're interacting with each other and talking inside that ring, it sounds like there's a packed house. Like, it's weird how I don't know. It's just really weird how that feels. Like, it just feels more full, right? As opposed to just kind of inside the ring and then you're not hearing anything at all, which really, I mean, is weird. I mean, all the companies were doing that in the very beginning. A few of the companies, AEW has, you know, fans that are allowed to be in attendance. WWE is doing their Thunderdome, right? Still, which, and then they're piping in sound and stuff, which is cool. It helps. But Ring of Honor really hasn't done that or had anybody in the crowd, but they're just using themselves.
Yeah.
And it sounds good.
And commentary wise, you know, we still got Ian Riccaboni, which is, he's one of the best in the biz right now. And I can't think of who he has with me. Obviously it's not Colt, cause Colt's over in AEW now, but yeah, I mean, Ian has always done a fantastic job on commentary, and that's been another gripe as well with New Japan America. You know, one half of their team there, I believe his last name is Kozlov. I mentioned, you know, he's ice cold on commentary. Like, it's just very flat, and he doesn't accentuate anything what's going on, you know. And then we look to bring you over to our other show here, Turnbuckle Rewind, which we'll talk a little bit about. You take somebody like Don West, who is very, very animated in a match. Like, it's such a jarring thing when you go from that, and then you watch a New Japan America match, and it's like commentary is being done like this. There almost needs to be a school for this stuff here, Carl. The commentary school.
There definitely should be, and I'm going to give a cheap plug here, but you know who does? You know who has that?
Who is that?
The Al Snow Wrestling Academy.
Yes.
The only accredited school in America, Al Snow Wrestling Academy, will teach you absolutely everything in and out with the professional wrestling business.
Yep, and OVW, and it won't be the last time that they're mentioned in this show, by the way. But yeah, Ring of Honor, if you haven't had a chance to check out their product, do yourself a favor and go check it out. You know, even in Canada here, you can find a syndication, and you can even record and watch it later, which is kind of like how I consume their product. And there's still a lot of free content on YouTube to watch as well. Like I mentioned on previous episodes, that they have released a lot of their content for free and some really, really good stuff there. So make sure and go and check that out. All right, so another thing that has the world a buzzin' when it comes to the to wrestling, and one individual in particular, and this is coming from New Japan here, Carl. After his night two match. We were talking Mr. Jay White. He not only wants to leave New Japan Pro Wrestling, he is saying that he is just done with wrestling, period. This is very interesting. And to keep in mind here, we are talking about one of the best right now in the business when it comes to talking and shooting promos and doing this kind of stuff here. He's working this, isn't he? He's got to be working this.
He's definitely got to be. I mean, right now, Jay White, Switchblade, Jay White is still the leader of the Bullet Club.
Mm-hmm.
And is this, like, we haven't heard anything about, you know, there being even talks of a new leader coming in for the Bullet Club or anything like that. So it strikes me kind of odd. It definitely does. And I think that this is honestly just a big work that he's doing. He's playing us, definitely. And I think that what we might actually see, I mean, he's over in Japan, right? He's doing everything over there. I think to add a little bit of star power to New Japan US, I think we might be seeing him show up there. Not going anywhere else. Not going with Impact, ROH, AEW, nowhere else. But sticking with New Japan Pro Wrestling, but coming back to America and doing it on the American soil with the New Japan Pro America company, I think that's what we're going to see.
I would agree. That's what I'd like to see as well. Of course, the leading train of thought out there immediately goes to, oh, he's going to NXT. Now, there are certain scenarios where I think that would be good. I think that... if they were still just on the network and were to tied into the USA network where, you know, clearly Vince has more of a say on things and there's more going in that kind of a direction. I don't like him coming over to WWE right now because, I mean, he's at the top of his game right now when it comes to promo work. And we know that behind the scenes in the WWE that they don't let guys kind of just go out there on their own, which is what Jay White excels at. So you're asking a guy who is really good at doing something to go somewhere else to do it in an entirely different way. And he's not going to dig that. He's not going to dig that unless he goes for the money, which, I mean, can be a very, very strong pull there. But, I mean, just I think you either stay where you are or I like your angle of coming over to New Japan America to really add some gusto, some energy, some panache, some like whatever adjectives you can think of to add to this brand because they need it over there, and he is a fantastic fit.
And I think that this is where you have the Bullet Club come to America.
Mm-hmm.
This is where you have it, right? Yep. I mean, you've got guy. I know that Chase Owens has made his way back to America.
Yep.
Right. Chase Owens is the crown jewel of the Bullet Club. So it's just, that's why I'm kind of thinking this way, right? Because then we'll have, you know, Switchblade come over and then Chase is already here in the U.S. Well, not here. We're in Canada, but Chase is in the United States, right? So you've already now got two members of the Bullet Club in the United States who can recruit a couple more people and get a 4 or 5 person faction going of the Bullet Club
That'd
in the United States.
That'd
and you have the Bullet Club in New Japan.
And this and this would also facilitate working even more between New Japan and AEW because then some really interesting dream matchups can happen here as well, which I've been kind of hinting at. And a big one that I literally just thought off the top of my head that I think would be absolutely fantastic would be Mr. Jay White versus the current TNT television champion, Mr. Darby Allin. That would be an awesome matchup that I'd like to see. So you could do a lot of cool stuff like this. And I think this New Japan America, not so much the New Japan Japan branch of New Japan to do this crossing over, but with doing it through the New Japan America, I think we could really help things there because then you could go the other way around and bring some AEW people into there as well, which would be really cool as well. And it would really help them out.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
All right, man. So going from that to some more New Japan stuff. Now, I don't want to go into like a ton of detail, but, you know, because we did an entire review over on Destino this week. But I do want to hint at, you know, just to go through the winners and to kind of hit a few highlights here on what happened with New Wrestle Kingdom 15 here. Go ahead, Carl.
Sure. I'm going to let you take this one because I have actually not seen it as of yet.
Oh, boy.
Unfortunately. I've been pretty busy with work, you know, still with lockdowns and stuff happening. So I'm a little busier. Haven't had the opportunity to, but definitely go ahead and take this away and give everybody your perspective, Cliff noted perspective on this event.
Yeah. So here in night one. All right. So we had what they were calling the 20-man, not the New Japan Rumble. They called it the 21-man New Japan Rambo. I don't know why they call it the Rambo. But it essentially came down to we had your boy Chase Owens, Bad Luck Fale, Bushi near the end here. And then Yano was the last one to kind of come out. And it was the top four were going to advance to this King of Pro Wrestling thing for night two. And Yano was able to sneak in there without even having to get into the ring. Classic Yano. You betcha that, Michael Jargo's head exploded when that happened. But a weird, fun, kind of strange way to kind of kick off night one. And then we had a really cool match. Some people were down on this, which I thought was kind of surprising. I really enjoyed this match. We had the winner of this was going to challenge for the Junior Heavyweight Championship. It was Hiromu Takahashi, the winner of the Best of Super Juniors, versus the winner of the Super J Cup, El Fantasmo, fellow Canadian. Some really cool stuff here. I mean, it was pretty much a given that Hiromu was going to win this match. I mean, Fantasmo looked absolutely fantastic, even in a loss. He did a really good job on there, and his future looks quite bright. And then we had the Gorillas of Destiny, which of course is Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa, versus the Dangerous Techers for the IW Tag Team Championship. And they won. And this was really cool because it was actually their first time winning the Tag Team Tournament, but also winning in the Tokyo Dome as a tag team. So it was pretty cool to see that happen for those guys. And then we had Kenta defeating Satoshi Kojima for the right to challenge for that United States Championship being currently held by, of course, Mr. John Moxley. What was really interesting here is that Kojima gave Kenta a run for his money here. For a guy who's 50 years old, he held his own in there. And that's actually one to kind of put a star beside and check out because it was actually really well done. From there, we went to, and we start getting into some kind of the good stuff here, Carl. We had Hiroshi Tanahashi versus the Great Okan. It was interesting. They need to start doing a little bit more with this, giving Tanahashi some wins because he's been absolutely school lately. But he did get a win over Great Okan here, and So from that, we went to this was a pretty crazy match here, Carl. This went to almost 36 minutes. We're talking Kazuchika Okada versus Will Ospreay. No titles or anything on the line. But, I mean, oh, my God, here, Carl. The thing from, Botchamania, when they do that I am the table thing? Japanese table. Those, they did a table spot there. Oh, my goodness. Really? That was pretty crazy, man. Those Japanese tables are stiff as hell. And they made use of them for sure. And then
and small.
Yeah, they're very, very small.
Yeah.
And then we had the big one here, Carl. We had Kota Ibushi defeating Tetsuya Naito for not only the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, but for the IWGP Intercontinental Championship. And then following that, Jay White came out to say, you know what, now we're on for night two. But I mean, what the really cool thing with this match here, Carl, is when Tetsuya Naito lost, he actually picked up the belts and handed them to Bushi and was like, okay, you know what, now it's your time. This is your destino. Boom. Like that was a really cool, special moment. If you go and check out Destino, they actually had Mr. Track Brown, literally in tears. So it was a pretty emotional moment, and that was a pretty cool thing. So that was night one. Then we move on to night two. We had, unfortunately, they had two matches, two stardom matches that were dark matches that unfortunately didn't get aired. So it was kind of a bummer to not see those. But that'll kind of all get broken down on a future episode of Destino. So I'll let Michael Jurgle handle those because honestly, the names, I don't stand a chance saying them. So I'm not even going to try. So we kicked off with, of course, Toru Yano versus Chase Owens, Bad Luck Fale, and Bushi for the King of Pro Wrestling 2021 trophy. And you can take a wild guess that Toru Yano remains the King of Pro Wrestling 2021 and has completely buried and has completely made a mockery of that situation there. And we'll see going forward what happens to that. I think Mr. Minoru Suzuki needs to get his hands on that dude and teach him a lesson. From there, we go to El Desperado and Kanemaru defeating Mr. Ryusuke Taguchi and Master Wato. This was a strange match here, Carl, because Wato really kind of showing his inexperience in this match. The kid's got some good work in that ring, but he's very unusual around the edges. You know, when it comes into, you know, saving pin interruptions and stuff like that, he was kind of off in weird kind of directions. It's hard to explain. You have to kind of go and watch the match. Some very odd stuff there. He clearly has some talent, some ability, but needs some more work, and we need to change that gimmick. That just does absolutely nothing for anybody at this point. From there, we went to... Wow. We had Shingo Takagi versus Jeff Cobb for the Never Open Weight Championship. And this went just over 20 minutes. And this matchup is just probably what you're imagining. Just two hosses just going out of here, Carl. This was quite something to see. Anything I say would kind of not do it justice. This is another one that you just need to go and check out. Then we had an interesting one here, Carl. This was actually... Well, first of all, I'll tell you the match and the result, and then I'll get to something here. We had Sonata defeating Evil with Dick Togo, or Dick Togo, or however you want to kind of pronounce that at ringside. So, you know, the Sonata getting the win over Evil there. But the weird stuff in this match here, Carl, was Evil throwing Sonata into the guardrail, not once but twice, and then taking out the timekeeper. This was... I imagine not necessarily meant to be a comedy spot, but I was literally on the floor laughing when this happened because, you know, it happened the first time and literally like the table like went over on him and he's pinned on the table and then they get him sit back up again. And then not like 2 minutes later, we do the same spot again, the same result happens. And I am just like pissing myself laughing. The match itself was great. But I mean, that spot was like, it was highly entertaining. I don't know if it was supposed to go that way, but just like, it had me rolling, and definitely a moment that you just need to go to and check out, and hopefully people appreciate like I did, because it was highly entertaining. And then we had the co-main event for night two for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship, Hiromu Takahashi versus Ishimori. Wow. This was absolutely fantastic, Carl. And Ishimori has really, really stepped up his game coming out of lockdown here over in Japan. And he is somebody that you need to keep your eye on, and somebody who's gone very unappreciated, not only in wrestling, in Japanese wrestling, and in the Bullet Club. He's been always overlooked, and he's absolutely fantastic and held his own with Hiromu. But Hiromu getting the win, and he is the new IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion. And then... The main event for the whole show here, we had Kota Ibushi defeating Jay White and going just shy of an hour in this match here, Carl, just over 48 minutes. And I have never seen somebody take a knee so hard as Jay White from Kota Ibushi. I mean, that Kamigoye, man, he almost put his head put that knee through his head on several occasions. That was absolutely fantastic. This whole show, was it perfect? Nope. There's definitely some strange stuff, but I mean, overall, just two fantastic, very long days of professional wrestling, but definitely worthwhile to go check out if you haven't already. Lots to cover in that one. It took me a little while. So hopefully you get a chance to watch that. Even if you just watch it in segments, it's definitely well worth the watch. All right, so I guess from that, Carl, we can move on to our Match of the Week segment.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Let me pull up our thing here. Here we go. All right, so match of the week segment. Now, do you want to go first this week or do you want me to go first? It feels like it's been a while since we've done this, but we just did it last week.
Yeah, right? mine will be super quick, okay? Match of the week from this past week, Drew McIntyre versus Keith Lee. Seriously,
interesting.
I know that you don't really watch a whole lot of WWE stuff, but watch this. Just go and watch it,
bookmark,
and then tell me what you think.
I'll have to bookmark it. Yeah,
fantastic. I am super impressed with what both guys have done within that matchup, and it's so nice to see them allowing both guys to really go out there and work, as we've talked before. So, Drew McIntyre versus Keith Lee. Go and watch it.
Very cool. Any chance he wins the Rumble this year, Carl? He's got to be a front runner, right? He's got to be a front runner, I would imagine, him.
Possibly.
I'd like to see it.
I think I would, too. I mean, I think it's... I don't know. It's really tough. It's really tough. I'm thinking they might be doing like a whole Daniel Bryan thing.
Yeah, I could see
or that. To be honest, I mean, it would seem to some like just a throwaway, but I would love to see Otis win the Royal Rumble. From everything that happened through 2020, him, you know, getting that Money in the Bank contract and then them taking the Money in the Bank contract away from him. Give the guy his due here. Like, just give him that WrestleMania match. Give it to him. Let him win the Royal Rumble. Let him go out there and do it. I think it would be a very entertaining matchup, considering who Otis is and what he can do inside that ring. He can work, but he adds that little bit of a comedy element to it as well. Yes. And I think that they could really play off of that.
Very cool. Very cool. For myself, my match of the week is coming from Wrestle Kingdom in Night 1. The main event, we are talking Kota Ibushi versus Tetsuya Naito for the double championship. Absolutely fantastic stuff. I mean, just if you're a fan of professional wrestling and you haven't watched this yet, it's just one that you have to go and check out. The work rate with these guys is absolutely incredible. And just there's so many like heart-stopping moments of these guys dropping each other on their head where it's just like legitimate moments where you're like, oh, dude, are you okay? Like, just like, wow. Like, I'm just absolutely incredible stuff from both of these guys. It's a good thing that these two don't wrestle each other often, because I think one of them might die at some point, literally in the ring here, Carl. I mean, just incredible. Oh, incredible. This is kind of what New Japan Wrestling is all about. If you check out this match, you get a good taste for what it's all about. And wow, absolutely incredible. On top of that, I do have an honorable mention that I want to make sure and mention here. We're talking from OVW. We're talking the Nightmare Rumble that was actually shown for free on YouTube, which is absolutely fantastic. Yes. And it was actually for their championship. And we're talking Omar Amir winning that Nightmare Rumble. Go check it on YouTube. It's free. It's for absolutely free. Our friend Mr. Michael Malcor helping to put that together. Absolutely fantastic stuff. I've heard a lot of praise for this not only this match but the event. It was very well done. I enjoyed it.
Me too. And starting out with the Nightmare Rumble was a good way to go, I believe.
Yep.
Really kind of set the tone for the entire thing. Isn't typically how you would do things because you would rather start small and work all the way up. But gotcha. I think that this year, starting with that Rumble, really set the tone and really made the night. And everything else that followed afterwards was you were just pumped up for everything else.
Yep, absolutely. No, I agree 100%. All right, man, before we go to our showstopper segment from this year, let's take a minute and hear from our friends over at Collar and Elbow Brand.
Wrestling. A love and a passion we all share. I've started a wrestling brand. The wrestling brand. A brand founded on the aspects of wrestling. Two entities working together to create a product that connect emotionally for people everywhere. Collar and Elbow is the brand. Passion and love for wrestling is the drive. I am Al Snow, and this is Collar and Elbow, the wrestling brand.
The dictionary defines hero as a person who is admired or idealized for courage, outstanding achievements, or noble qualities. Being a hero in life is far more than words printed on a page. It takes an unwavering code, a compass that points true north, always. And in times like these, it takes sacrifice. Hero shouldn't be a word defined by a dictionary. It's a word that should be defined by the best of us. Hero has a new definition.
So here you go, a little word from our friends over at collarandelbowbrand.com, or if you use promo code JKPODCAST at the checkout, you can get 10% off all of your merchandise there. And absolutely great stuff there. And you know, what better to follow after talking about OVW than talking about Mr. Al Snow and Collar and Elbow Brand, right?
Definitely. Great merchandise over there. Sweaters, hats, t-shirts, face masks even for this COVID season. They got a little bit of everything over there. I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing socks and underwear come out of there as well. No, probably not. But great, cool stuff over there. And again, we just want to say that different things they have over there. You saw the Shad Gaspard shirt there as well. They have one for Road Warrior as well as for Brody Lee. And all the proceeds from the purchase of those goes directly to the family. So very amazing cool. thing from them. Yeah. So if you do want to go there, help support and save a little bit of money, go and buy some of those t-shirts there, the legacy shirts for these competitors that we knew and loved and watched for years, and use the promo code JKPODCAST to save a little bit of cash.
Yes, absolutely. Now, before we do get to our showstopper segment, we do have a little bit of breaking news I want to get to. All right, Carl. So in breaking news here, the one that I definitely want to bring up, and maybe you have some as well that you want to mention, but the one that I definitely want to bring up here is we're talking a big free agent in professional wrestling coming out of Ring of Honor. We are talking Mr. Dalton Castle is now a free agent. This has me legitimately excited here, Carl, because I slept on Dalton Castle for a long time, and then really started kind of, I started really getting into Ring of Honor, started becoming a fan of this guy. Wow, this is interesting. I'm really curious to see where he ends up here, because I mean, this is the kind of dude that he could go anywhere and do well.
He definitely can, and how it's kind of being touted right now is that Dalton Castle has decided to open himself up to the highest bidder. So whoever the highest bidder is going to be,
interesting.
That's where we'll see Dalton Castle go.
Interesting, because I can't remember what show it was on, because I've done quite a few of them lately, that I had been pitching for possibly Marty Skrull to show up at the Royal Rumble, but I may have to revise that that thought, because maybe he'll show up at the Royal Rumble.
Right.
And that would be, I'm not sure how many people would pop for that, but I mean, I sure as hell would, and I know any Ring of Honor fan would as well. See Dalton Castle show up at the Royal Rumble, that would be... I'd be a mark out. It might not be AJ Styles level of marking out, but it would be pretty damn special for myself.
It definitely would be as well. I mean, that's just nuts. And I'm excited. If that does happen, yeah. I'm excited for that.
Yep. All right, man, do you have any breaking news you want to cover before we get to our showstopper?
Yeah, I just want to cover here quickly for any of you that still have the WWE Network. Mm-hmm. And I believe that all of this is probably going to be on the free version as well. The WWE Network schedule for a week of different things leading up to the Royal Rumble here, the week of January 11th, which that starts today.
Yep.
On Monday, the New Day pay tribute to John Huber on an episode of The New Day, Feel the Power. Okay. On Tuesday, the WWE on the network will be doing The Best of Luke Harper, featuring stories and comments from Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton, Seth Rollins, Daniel Bryan, and more. Both will be available on the free version of the WWE network. So that's just another little thing that that WWE is doing in honor of Luke Harper, John Huber.
Nice.
Big Joe or Mighty Joe, you talked about AJ Styles and his Royal Rumble debut. So on Sunday, the WWE Network documentary, WWE Untold, will be doing AJ Styles' Royal Rumble debut.
Interesting. Interesting.
So, yeah, right?
Interesting. I'll have to check that out.
So, yeah, I mean, that there, definitely something to check out. So the free version of the WWE Network does unlock a vast portion of the WWE Network content library, including like more than 15,000 different titles, WWE like titles that are available for free, right? So yeah, you can subscribe at the network, www.network.com, and just do the free version. And I mean, I think it would be great for everybody just to go and check it out. If you're wanting that little bit of old school WWE fix, that's available there for you. Nice. But yeah, cool. I'm excited for this, this AJ Styles documentary, as well as this, John Huber, or Luke Harper, thing that they're going to be doing as well.
Yeah. Yeah. The AJ one, I'll definitely have to check out. I'd be very curious to see if they had cameras, fixed on the gorilla position, because I'd be really curious to see their reaction to how big of a pop that AJ got coming out of there, because I have a feeling that they really surpassed, especially Vince's expectations on that one. So right. I'd be very curious to know how that kind of played out, and hopefully they'll show that to us here.
Yeah, they probably will. They usually do have the cameras back there. So
yeah.
Yeah, that's really about all that I've got for any type of real breaking news. I just wanted to make sure that I mentioned I had it up in front of me, so I was reading it there. I just wanted to make sure that the Best of Luke Harper, that everybody knows about that, that it's available on the free version. So
nice.
Check that out. That's going to be fantastic. And then as we come into Royal Rumble time, the AJ Styles debut.
Very, very cool. Because that was one of the better debuts that there's been in quite a while. So I'd be very, very interested to watch that one. All right, man, let us get to our showstopper segment. All right, so for this week on the Showstopper segment, we were talking about the importance of the promo in professional wrestling here. I think it's been a while since we've kind of touched on this topic in this segment here. And I think it's something that really goes kind of unappreciated. For me on this, especially when I look at people, say, you know, I'll pick three names. Didn't I say a random? I picked these beforehand, but let's talk. Jake Roberts, CM Punk, I'll do four. Jake Roberts, CM Punk, Macho Man, and Jay White, a more modern one, okay? Would these guys be great in wrestling if they were just wrestlers and couldn't talk? Maybe. But because the fact that they have this other huge aspect to their game, so to speak, that really takes them to the next level. I think all these guys are very, very good examples of that, of where like the promo is something that is very, very important, because without that, it can be kind of strange. You can be kind of in a weird place. You might still be a very, very good wrestler, but you'll never get over that hump to really to get to major notoriety. Would you agree, Carl?
Yeah, I definitely do agree with that. That's a huge aspect of it. I mean, to take you up to that next level, right? I mean, when you talk about promos and stuff, a little bit kind of modern day that I take a look at is the Talking Smack that happened with Daniel Bryan and The Miz.
Yeah, I still remember that one, yeah.
Like, that elevated The Miz. Just that promo right there.
Yeah.
Elevated The Miz even a little bit higher than he has been before, because don't get me wrong, the Miz is a good worker, he's always been good on the mic, but that there just like pushed it up a notch higher, right? And I mean, that's what I think of modern day when it comes to, and then you want to talk old school. Jake the Snake Roberts was probably one of the best old school. Dusty Rhodes was another one, right? Macho Man Randy Savage, definitely. Like, and they were all different with their things. The Macho Man was very high strung. Jake the Snake Roberts was a little more toned down, but they were effective and really helped elevate careers.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when I think older school promos, I mean, you named the one for me. I mean, Jake Roberts, I mean, the one still to this day that really, really stands out to me was Jake Roberts talking about his match, the one coming right up that night with Mr. Ted DiBiase. I mean, that one still, I get like chills and I get goosebumps when I still go back and watch it every single time. And I mean, and just an example that, you know, at that time, you know, we had like Ultimate Warrior and Macho Man to a certain extent. I mean, these guys were like very like boisterous and kind of over top, especially Warrior, like screaming almost to the point sometimes. But then you had Jake, who just talked very intellectually, very few words, and just made his point.
Yep. Quiet, methodical.
Yep.
It was just fantastic.
And then we fast forward to modern day, to a name that I had mentioned, you know, in Jay White over in New Japan. And very similar to Jake in that respect, you know, he doesn't need to yell and scream to make his point. He speaks very intellectually and with very few wasted words. And just so he just kind of draws you in with that, you know, combined with the in-ring ability. I mean, just it makes for, you know, especially in that bad guy kind of role, the promo ability there really kind of makes or breaks that aspect of that, especially when you're going for that bad guy character, you know. And CM Punk. I mean, we can't go through the segment without mentioning the pipe bomb, right, Carl?
That's right. Yeah, definitely. And I mean, that was a off the cusp, just from the depths of his soul promo that happened there. And it definitely worked. Yeah. Now, it was very emotional. So do I think that, and don't get me wrong, CM Punk is good. But do I think that CM Punk's promos all the time were great? No, I really don't. No. But that pipe bomb definitely helped elevate him up. You know, I mean, at this time, he was pretty much done, right? So, I mean, but that elevated him up to be able to, if he wanted to, go anywhere that he wanted. Like, that's still remembered today, is that pipe bomb. Yeah. But was he always the greatest at promos? I really don't think so. That's that's a personal thing. I don't think that he really was. But you want to talk about emotional? That's what that was. And I think that it's made for a good promo because it was emotional, because it was actually him. It wasn't something scripted. It was just his pure, raw emotion coming out.
You know, and then you get other examples, you know, as well. You know, obviously another major one is Stone Cold after winning the King of the Ring, you know, and the 316 promo. I mean, that you know, defined him as Stone Cold. After that, he was never the same. He was Stone Cold after that. That was the defining moment in his career. And then, you know, and there's so many other ones, I mean, that you can mention, like the Rock. You know, I mean, not necessarily a promo, but I think it would still qualify because you got a microphone in your mouth, so technically it's still a promo. To me, another big one that stands out with him, and maybe not to a lot of people, that song that he did for Vicky Guerrero. I mean, that his version of the Eric Clapton song for Vicky Guerrero. I mean, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, on the other side of things, on the less serious side, on the comedic side, I mean, stuff like that is just fantastic.
Oh yeah.
Fantastic.
And that stuff's needed every once in a while.
Yeah.
So it was nice to be able to see stuff like that happen. Definitely. Yep,
for sure. And I mean, we could go on and on. You know, Piper was obviously another favorite of mine with the Piper's Pit segments, even getting into his latter years. I mean, he was always an excellent talker. And you know, and then there's some that are just on the other side of things, there are some that just aren't very good at it. And
Brock Lesnar.
Thankfully, he has somebody who's very good at doing promos in Paul Heyman. So,
that's right.
Sometimes you don't necessarily need to talk, but it definitely does help.
Oh, yes.
All right, man. Well, I guess that about wraps up here for this week. I guess anything you want to plug or mention before we head out of here this week?
Yeah, I just want to make sure that if you guys are into health and fitness, go and check out our friends at Phoenix over at fnxfit.com. Scrolling down at the bottom of the screen, you can see that there is a website there as well, and the promo code to use. The promo code is TBTalkPod, and you're going to get 15% off your entire order from fnxfit.com. So very cool, great stuff over there, whether it's protein powder, whether it's super greens, whether it's testosterone, whether it's vitamin, like whatever you need, they got it. And they got some pretty cool clothing over there as well. Go and check them out, fnxfit.com. TB Talk Pod gets you 15% off your order. We've already talked about Collar and Elbow, but let's mention them once again. CollarandElbowBrand.com. Use promo code JKPodcast. You're going to get 10% off your entire order. As always, I'm wearing my Collar and Elbow Brand hat. Always wearing this hat. Go and check out CollarandElbowBrand.com. Promo code JKPodcast for 10% off. And don't forget to follow us on all of our social media. We have got Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can find all of that by searching at TB Talk Pod.
Absolutely. And before we go, for myself, just to make a mention, coming up later this week, make sure and check out Turnbuckle Rewind, our second episode. We will be going back to 2005. TNA. We're talking the matchup between Christopher Daniels and AJ Styles for the X Division Championship in an Iron Man match. And we break down this match, and we had a great time doing it. It's one that you're definitely not going to want to miss. This one was a lot of fun to talk about and a lot of fun to watch. Make sure and check that out. And even feel free to watch along as we talk about it. That was a fun
definitely.
One.
Definitely.
That was a fun one. And we've got more great matchups to come on that. So looking forward to more of those. All right, man. Yeah. Well, that wraps it up here for this week, and we'll see you guys on the next one.
Have a nice day.
It's me. It's an honor to be the beat. As you can tell in the background, we are out celebrating. That is what we do here at HittingTheMarks.com. And I invite everyone to continue to tune in to Turnbuckle Talk, but check out all of our other shows. You can find that all at HittingTheMarks.com.
Run.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.